Everybody, happy Monday night. Today is January 30th, 2023. This is Across the Pitch, back for a new episode. But first and foremost, go Eagles, fly Eagles, fly. Your Philadelphia Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl. I see, Dave, you're wearing an Eagles jersey, right?
Yeah.
In there?
Yeah.
There you go. I love it. It's an exciting time for Philadelphia sports. But, of course, today we are talking about your Philadelphia Union, who look to have a very promising season up ahead, 2023. But, again, my name is Mike Barrera. As always, we have Jose Nunez and Dave Miller. Dave, Jose, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm good, Mike. Thank you so much. Really excited to chat with you again. Listen, the Pennsylvania continues to leak into me little by little after all these years. No, really excited. It's still in ecstasy, I guess, after last night's game. It's hard to believe, continue to pinch myself that this is the year that we've all experienced here in Philadelphia with the Union, the Phillies, and now the Eagles. And who knows what will happen with the Eagles, and certainly waiting on the 76ers.
Well, Dave, I'll shoot it to you. You're going to come to Philly. So please tell us a little bit about your trip and your excitement to be back in the city.
I sort of said, after we beat the Cowboys, I sort of thought, if we do get to our Super Bowl, I was hoping maybe tickets wouldn't be as extortionate as they were. I was hoping that maybe I could afford to go out. Of course, as fate had it, they weren't. They're about $6,000. So, I mean, I'm not going to bankrupt myself to go to the Super Bowl. So I thought I might as well go to Philly, you know, for the excitement of the Super Bowl, and hopefully be there for the parade if they win. If not, it's NBA season. The Sixers are playing. Try and catch a Sixers game or two. So, I mean, and obviously catch up with you guys as well. We'll try and sort something out, doing Across the Pitch meetup. I mean, again, it's just good to go back and, you know, not too bad. I was able to get a flight, hotel for 2 weeks' notice, so not too bad at all.
Love it. I know last time, Dave, you came, I ended up taking to the Jug Handle Inn in Cinnaminson. If you haven't been there, to people watching, it's the best wings in the area. Dave, would you agree they were great wings?
Incredible.
Love it. I mean, even the bartender was like, you're not going to get these kind of wings in England, man. Sorry, but that's what you get when you come to Jersey. But anyway,
Mike,
go ahead.
You got to be very careful, Mike. There are better wings than those, and they are from your sponsor.
Great segue. Here we go. So we're going to read our sponsors because we actually forgot to last week, which was completely my fault entirely. So first and foremost, Statement Games at statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports entertainment. You can win gift cards and prizes. It's free to sign up at statementgames.com. You have Doan Distillery at the Trolley Barn Public Market in Quakertown. Go to doandistillery.com to check out their wide variety of drinks and specials. Again, that's Doan Distillery. Next, we got two restaurants in Allentown. We got Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant. Discover our new favorite by trying their top pizzas and so much more. Check out their website at vinny'spizzarestaurant.com. Right next door, you got Stuff to the Grills at 6750 Iroquois Trail number 5. And also at stufftothegrills.com for their homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods, available for any event you like. Please check them out at stufftothegrills.com. And last but not least, we have the Across the Pitch gear and the AAT Sports Network at aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. You can check out a wide variety of different gifts, mugs, jerseys, shirts, that kind of stuff. I know Johnny's put together some of the things like you see on your screen right in front of you. Couple shirts, couple knickknacks. There you go. And that is our sponsors for tonight. You know, last time we were talking about additions to the team. And we were saying, oh, you know, we feel like we got the shopping list taken care of, right? We got the midfielder with Perea. We got Torres, the attacking player. Little did we know that the next day we'd be hearing about Damon Lowe coming from Miami. So for those who haven't heard yet, we have added him as our backup center back. It's a lot to discuss now with how this lineup is shaping up. So, Dave, I'll go to you first. What does this signing mean to you with Lowe being brought into the mix?
I mean, for starters, it's experienced MLS depth. I mean, again, as much as everyone probably wants Brandon Craig to be, you know, the third choice centre back who can come in and do a job, he's not really played that often. He's not really got that much experience at the men's level. So, again, to, you know, rely upon him if there is an injury issue. I mean, again, we've been very lucky the last 3 years with Jacob and Jack, that they haven't really suffered any injuries or any problems in terms of long-term anyway, and being out for three, four weeks, a month, a couple of months. So again, Damon Lowe will offer that experience. He started a lot of games for Miami last year, and so it was a great addition. Again, I think Jim also really has highlighted the fact that how versatile this team is going to be this upcoming season, and we'll discuss that a bit later on, but then it again opens up the possibility to play a three at the back. You know, even if you actually want to put Brandon Craig in there, you still have that option of, you know, perhaps leaving him a bit less exposed because he's actually in a back three. So the other two experienced centre backs and sort of help cover his flaws up a bit and help protect him. So I think it's, I mean, again, you need to have four central defenders in the modern game, really, at least. If you, so again, I think it's a good addition. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can add to the team. How often he plays is another question. I think the amount of games you've got this year, so we should see him play a lot, whether it's in cup competition or even in the MLS, depending on how seriously Jim wants to, you know, really attack the CCL.
Yeah, Jose, how about you?
You know, it's really interesting. We talk about his experience. First and foremost, he's local in that of he played at Reading United in Pennsylvania. So somewhat of a local kid, but he has been all over the place, right? He's played in Norway. He's played in Egypt. He's played in the U.S. both at the MLS level with Seattle Sounders, Tampa Bay, Phoenix for the Phoenix Rising. And I think what's most important and something to not forget is his international caps as well, right? 48 appearances with the Jamaican national team. So laps to go around. Brendan Craig, as much as we appreciate another one of our own in the youth, it's also really, really, again, Union 3.0 for us to go and find players that have that type of experience. So I think it's an exciting addition. I don't know what this does to the psyche of a Brendan Craig or maybe even like a Matt Real, who sometimes has to fill into the center back position for, you know, the odd game and whatnot. I don't know what that means for them and how they're feeling about it, and or if they see in their sights a lot of Union 2 in their future, much like last year. But overall, as a fan outside looking in, not having to worry about how people feel about additions internally and what it means for my own game time, I think this is a stellar addition, and for pennies, really, really, really well catered move.
Yeah, I think Tanner has become Howie Roseman-esque in the way he's been able to fleece these teams and have their, you know, these really, you know, eye-opening moves. I mean, look at the Sergio Santos move last year, right? We feel like, wow, Cincinnati really took him for that. Like that's kind of what we got back in return. Okay, great. You know, and then what he played 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so in that regular season run he had. I mean, it wasn't a lot.
Literally one run, literally one sprint.
He literally had one run. I think when you talk about familiarity, and we discussed this recently, how the Union have typically gone to the, you know, foreign countries to bring these players in. Now you're seeing these MLS players being brought in. And Jose, to your point on Monday, which I had also shared on my TikTok later that week, it feels weird having two signings from the MLS, but now three, all within a matter of, you know, a couple months of each other, and two of them within obviously the same week. It feels bizarre. But one thing I liked the most, and I know Dave, I think you highlighted it in the press conference, and Jose, you just mentioned this now, is the fact that he is a Jamaican international, which means he has experience with Blake. Yes, will he need to learn the Union's style of play and system? Of course, right? It's a different team from what he's used to. But at the same time, having the familiarity with Blake at least gives him some comfortability when he's playing in front of him. Assuming he does play in front of him, I'm sure he's going to play occasionally in front of Bendick. Well, because now Freese is gone. Another news to discuss here in a second. But for someone like myself who's played, you know, defense and right back and center back, it's important to have a good communication, a good relationship with your goalkeeper. So I'm excited for that side of things. When if he does have to get put in a pinch, I have confidence that him and Blake can work together well, because, you know, the center backs in our team in particular are very important. So we want to have somebody with experience and, as you said, familiarity with the area, with the club and that kind of stuff. But I guess in terms of goalkeeper, and since I just mentioned his name as well, Matt Freese is also no longer on the roster. And for those who, I think, who have been following us on Twitter, you know, he goes to NYCFC. And I think the numbers came out, or the news came out also officially, that Sean Johnson is going to Toronto, if I remember correctly. So again, guys, yeah, Now that it's kind of been another week or so since the news has become official, what do you have to say about the depth of the goalkeepers and where you think Bendick and Trent will come into the mix here?
I think that is probably the issue, isn't it? I think, again, Bendick's a very old, experienced goalkeeper. I mean, again, a lot of experience in the MLS, but I mean, again, he was third choice goalkeeper for a reason. are they going to have enough faith or trust in the kid that they drafted in the super draft to, you know, fill in as that second or third choice goalkeeper? I really doubt it. So it'll be interesting to see if they do make a move for a goalkeeper between now and the start of the season, whether, you know, it's just a cheap backup who has played in the MLS before and has experience. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, again, I mean, last year showed just how important it is to have a very good backup goalkeeper or solid backup goalkeeper, and the MLS Cup final showed that as much as we don't want to look at it. I mean, again, Kripu goes down injured and the LAFC have another solid goalkeeper comes in. I mean, again, penalties are potluck, but I mean, yeah, it's just, I think, again, you need a solid goalkeeper, whether Joe Bendit can do it, because I know he's had his critics, hasn't he? I think a lot of fans sort of groan when he is in the lineup. So, yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see how the Union played out. I think that'll be one of the more interesting transfer moves in terms of incomings over the next week or two, whenever, how long the Union have to re-sign players until the start of the season.
That's a good point, Dave. And you know, you got to wonder, right? Allocation money totaling up to $750,000 in that of the deal. So it really does help make all of these other transfers with Perea and Torres and now our Jamaican friend more or less become a wash or very little on the red end for us. But it also has me wonder, right? Yeah, they drafted the kid that. I continue to forget his name. So if one of you could look it up, that'd be great. So we can actually identify him correctly. But it makes you wonder, you know, A, he could be a backup to Bendik. If not, I fully expect it. But it also makes you wonder what is on the Union too, right? With Alguera, with Rick, and the last one, Thompson, right? Do any of those three goalkeepers have anything to contribute to this year, right? Could they come in and be a third? Maybe one of them gets a professional contract and they just sit and ride the bench with us, be a practice keeper for the Union more or less. I'm not sure. Mike, thank you for looking that up. Holden Trent. So I'm happy. I know we were speculating on the rumor last week when we started to hear about it. Happy for him. I hope Matt does well, but not too well. So exactly. We're not having to pay out some of those bonuses or I guess, listen, the more money we can keep, the better from this deal. Right. Yeah. So I'm intrigued. I also know that words matter and my gosh, Mr. Freeze really freezing our love for him with his one comment on Twitter when he announced this move with, claiming and saying that it's a pleasure to play for a big club now in New York City FC. So was the relationship as good as we thought? I don't know. After that tweet, I'm not quite sure, to be completely honest with you. And this is just the talking head speaking, but right. Words matter, especially when they're putting on blast on Twitter.
Agreed. I mean, as we saw with the Empire State Building last night, right, tweets and things like that matter. As if you guys who don't know, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Empire State Building lit up in green in honor.
Whoa. They did not win the Super Bowl, Mike.
I'm sorry, the NFC Championship game. On the way to the Super Bowl. Sorry.
Brody slip.
Yes. When they won the NFC Championship game, the Empire State Building got lit up in green, and basically all of New York imploded on itself on Twitter, freaking out, because you're right, it does matter. The things that get said and the way it's presented do matter. And if you haven't checked out that thread yet, it's probably one of the funniest things you'll see of the last day or so regarding the Eagles. I know even the Giants had kind of retweeted and were just there to enjoy the comments that came with it. So an interesting little bit of social media work by the Empire State Building, who you didn't think would be involved in the win last night, but here we are discussing it. The Matt Freeze, you know, contract gets released. I do think it's a lot of money for a third string backup, as we've mentioned before. But again, when you're bringing all these players in, it's pretty exciting to hear. Now, again, the Union have played two preseason games since we last spoke. They played St. Louis, and they played Minnesota as well. They played Minnesota this past Friday. We also had the press conference with Jim Curtin. As you can imagine, Jim's pretty excited with where this team's going. He likes the depth. But, again, he brings up the argument of the back three. And, Dave, you were on the press conference this past Friday, if I remember correctly. So if you want to kind of discuss some of the press conference and what Jim had to say there.
Again, I think it was quite an interesting press conference because, again, Jim was very much, again, it's going to be complimentary of players like Damian Lowe and Yoko and Torres and the acquisitions of those two. I think, yeah, it's a... Again, I think we've said for so long now, and Jim has somewhat highlighted how this team has got wingers that the team can utilise. I mean, not only did you speak about Yoko and Torres as a 10, as a second striker, he also said he can play as a winger, the same as Quinn Sullivan, which, you know, Quinn hasn't really been able to get in the team the last 18 months because of the ascension of Daniel Gansdag. And so, again, that's another way that they can get him in the team. I think Jim really pushed in his pressure, just sort of saying like how now they're going to try and be more flexible the way they play. They're going to try and change the way they play in different games. I mean, again, it sort of says the diamond is they're going to be there. It's sort of going to be the sort of, you know, the solid style. Like, if we are going to play one system, it's going to be the diamonds. But if we need to change the formation, or we need to change the system to match up against a back five, or if we're playing a team with four attackers or five sort of forward players, this is how we're going to do it. And yeah, it's quite interesting to sort of see. So again, Jim sort of again was alluding to how we're going to, the team can play a back three, but then he sort of said again that having Curtin, having Torres will give the team flexibility. And, you know, just sort of say, like, since the team has lost Orsino, we haven't really had a ball playing player that, you know, can take the ball and try and take on the defender and run at the opposition and try and put them on the back foot. And, you know, sort of to have that sort of, to have Yoko and Torres to be that sort of change of pace player, you know, he can play as a 10, and, you know, he can also play as a winger, which I've been crying out for years that this team needs width and depth. You know, that width and depth to really, I mean, offer something different. Cause, I mean, again, if trying to work the ball through the middle and just being completely slammed shut, you can't solely rely on your fullbacks to be your depth, to be your width, and often try and get you up the pitch, especially, you know, if they get caught out, you're screwed on the counter-attack. And we know Bedoya and Leon Flack aren't really the most exciting ball-playing footballers who are going to, you know, get the ball, get out wide, just take the man on, you know, beat a couple of players. I mean, Andy Bedoya's 37, I think, 38, whatever he is now, 35, 36, whatever, mid-30s.
Yeah.
He can't do that. Leon Flack's definitely more of a defensive player. So I think exactly, it's going to be exciting to hopefully see, you know, see Quinn have a more, you know, be more involved this year, have a more important role, hopefully. Whether it is in the 10 or if it is out wide as a winger. And again, it's just going to be exciting to, you know, see this team try different things and try and be a bit more creative in the way they play. So, yeah.
Well, Jose, before I shoot it to you to our next point, I know we wanted to discuss Kai Wagner and Jose Martinez. I mean, Dave, you're right. I didn't really think about it until Jim mentioned it, that we really haven't had that playmaker since Elsino. We had that run with him right before the Supporter Shield year. We were hoping he'd be the same for that year. He wasn't, obviously, since then. I believe we kind of wish Paxton was going to be that, since he was more of that one-on-one style player compared to Brendan. That was really not the case, nor did he see the playing time. And I don't think Daniel's really that magician on the ball. I mean, I'd argue that Jose Martinez is probably our best. Well, actually, you know, Olivier as well has some ability to kind of make a man miss and do some creativity there. But there's not really somebody you trust every single time like you did with Elsino. But I know, Jose, you and I were talking before the show started regarding Kai Wagner and his rumors, as well as Jose Martinez. So I'll shoot it to you regarding that kind of news and where you think the team's going to move after that.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And, you know, Tom Boger has really spelled it out nicely, right? How it's just baffling and just can't comprehend what has happened with the interest for Kai Wagner, right? And his thinking that, and I think a lot of backing even from us, that he could be playing just well in any of the top five leagues, either as a starter or a backup that gets League Cup minutes or any type of competition, especially for those Premier League teams that end up playing four or five competitions in a year. but yeah, it's really fascinating to see that my fears are maybe coming to an end, because as we discussed before the show, Jose Martinez's interest by Besiktas out in Turkey is apparently heating up, but also stalling a bit, where Besiktas has not really made a move beyond the initial bid. Turkish market closes on February the 8th, I think. I think that's right. Or, yeah, I think it might be the 8th. I can't recall exactly when it closes, but it's coming up.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. Maybe they're not seeing eye to eye with what the union want. But listen, I'm still holding on to a lot of fear here that we're going to lose one, if not both, come tomorrow for most of Europe, but the eighth for the rest of the countries that would be interested in some of our players.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Go ahead.
I mean, there was that, I don't know if I think I put it in the group chat as well. There was that interesting Instagram post or story from Jose Martinez yesterday as well. Something about liars and stuff like that. So again, it's interesting to see. And he was sat on the plane as well. So it's interesting to sort of, I mean, again, it doesn't seem like a positive post when you're speaking about liars and people making up information and stuff. So it's not always a good thing to see. Especially, I mean, for Jose, I guess it's a massive move to go, you know, they're disrespecting the union, but to go from the MLS to one of the biggest teams in Turkey, playing in European football, whether it be the Champions League, Europa League, Europa Conference League, it's a huge step up for a player like him. So again, I mean, hopefully it's something that can be resolved if the union can keep a hold of him. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I think, as I said in the group chat, I wouldn't take anything less than $5 million for him. I think that's the sort of level. And I mean, I'm hoping to get a pre-season article out. So looking forward to this season. I'm going to wait until I know that Kai Wagner and Jose Martinez are here before writing it, because I don't want to, you know, be like, write about those two staying and then
they're gone
12 hours later, you know, both deals go through. I mean, I think it is February 8th, the Turkish transfer window, Jose. So again, we've got another, like 9 days to cling on to that. But again, I think those are sort of countries that we sort of do need to look out for, because I think those are the sort of leagues that players like Kai Wagner, Jose Martinez could probably excel in terms of using it as a stepping stone, as the next stepping stone in their careers.
You mentioned the stepping stone, Dave, which is kind of the issue that Tom and Jonathan Tannenwald had been discussing online. So they were saying, why is there not more interest in Kai? Why does it seem to be dying off little by little? One of the arguments Jonathan Tannenwald made on Twitter was the fact that a German team may not want to bring him in at 25 if they cannot feel like they can sell him again in a couple of years to a Premier League team or anything else, which is, again, Jose, you and I kind of talked about that before. 27 is getting up there in age for a player of his position. So I see where that concern is. I know for Jose Martinez, the bid was for $2 million, apparently. Not enough for Tanner. And as you said, Dave, you're looking for more closer to $5 million. I don't know if they would get that much from them if they're offering as low as $2 million, but I mean, then again, I didn't think we'd be getting as much as we did for Sergio Santos. So here we are really kind of questioning whether Tanner has it in him to pull it off. But a question that I had asked to Jose, Dave, before you had jumped into the studio was, it's clear that probably one, if not both, will leave. If you had to pick one player to see let go, Jose Martinez or Kai Wagner, who would you rather see leave and why?
I mean, Jose Martinez, 100%. No disrespect to Jose, but I think there are players in this team that can do the job that he does and are probably safer and less rash doing stuff than what he does. I mean, again, we've seen the good of Jose Martinez and we've seen the bad of Jose Martinez. I mean, especially in some of the biggest moments in the team's history. The Champions League game in America. I sort of said to Mike, if this team can hold on to this 1-0 lead, they've got the absolute best chance of getting something in that second leg and possibly going through. Yeah. What does Jose Martinez do? Loses the ball, tries his best to win it back, goes in and commits the most ridiculous foul you could commit inside the penalty area. You just don't dive in around the area. And then again, the same in the MLS Cup final. Got dispossessed near the edge of the penalty area and went diving in trying to win the ball again. Does a player like Leon Flack probably make that mistake? Probably not. No, Leon Flack is the perfect sort of six that keeps things simple. And again, I think that would be the perfect role for him going forward, because I feel like he does get left hung out to dry a bit, playing in that 8-mile where he has to work up and down the pitch and be more creative, as opposed to in that six where he can literally be a simple six. It should just hang in there, keep it simple, win the ball, keep it simple. So I think, again, and if you look at Kai Wagner, there was no one on this team that can really replace him or can replicate what he can do. I mean, his set pieces are fantastic. The way that this, like, in terms of how this team likes to create chances and move the ball out the field, they loved, again, the fullbacks. Is Matt Real going to be able to do what Kai Wagner can do in terms of set pieces, his production in terms of, you know, crosses, passing, even his shooting free kicks? I don't think he can. So I think Jose Martinez, every single day of the week, I mean, we always see the good, but I think sometimes the bad. does sometimes outweigh the good with Jose.
How about you, Jose? Because I have a couple thoughts on the comparison between Jose and Leon, but I want to ask you first the same question.
Yeah, well, just to make sure we get it right, I'm looking at Jose Martinez's Instagram photo, and I can translate word by word what he said. He says, "We live in a world full of lies and fictitious people." So
while he's on a plane, for those who can't,
while he's see it, yeah, correct yeah. for the visual people, we still don't have it on screen. But for the non visual people, we don't have it on screen. So don't worry, you're not missing anything outside of my voice talking to you. So that's interesting. I think the other thing to really think about too, when you start thinking about maybe things cooling down for Kai, especially in regards to German teams, this is where I think real world sort of collides into our fantasy world that is soccer in a way, where the macroeconomics situation all around the globe is just very, very tough. I think the only league that's just really going bonkers with spending is the English league, right? The Premier League is just going bananas with spending. I don't think you see many, if any, players actually being purchased by German teams. And even more interesting to me is the interest for Jose Martinez comes from Turkey, of all places, right? Where that monetary, the money, the actual, you know, I think it's the lira in Turkey is just unbelievably weak. So it's really interesting to see that's where the interest is coming from. So when you think about maybe stuff cooling down, maybe some of these Premier League teams are just absolutely done, but they have no more money to really spend, if they ever even really had any, let alone German teams having to shell out, you know, whatever type of money we're expecting or wanting for someone like Kai Wagner. But to your question, I think I wholeheartedly agree with Dave. I really don't have much out to add, right? Jose Martinez has a lot of upside, but also can be the fastest way that we lose games.
Yeah.
maybe from card accumulation or just one bonehead move where he tries to make a pass where he shouldn't, and there it goes, 1-0. Or maybe, you know, 2-1 and we end up losing. So I think he's done a lot for the team. But again, if we were to, you know, have to choose somebody to depart the team, I think it would be him.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And it's funny because now we're getting a class in, you know, global economics here from Jose. So it feels like we're just learning across the board here. But no, it's so the reason why I agree with you guys as well, and not to just having a show full of agreements here, but I do believe that Jose is more replaceable than Kai, especially when you have somebody like Leon Flock. Now, the question is, what's the difference between Leon Flock and Jose Martinez? I'd say defensively, they're pretty much about the same in terms of ability. They can both play the position extremely well. They can both get back and make amazing tackles and have this good speed, that kind of stuff. The difference is clearly offensive, right? Despite Jose's miscues that he has at times, he's also, you know, El Brujo. He's very magical in the ball at times, and he can make something happen out of nothing. We see the same thing with Olivier, which is why I personally like Olivier better than Nathan, even though I think Nathan's vertical alone is amazing. But besides the point, there's more that can be made from Jose out of nothing. I have seen Leon Flock on the ball, and it is a bit frightening to me to see him in the back position like that if he's being pressed high by the forwards, how he's going to react. Is he going to be able to get the ball out to the center backs or to Ali or to somebody else effectively enough on a regular basis where he's not costing the team the same turnovers that Jose is, just in a different manner? Also, we know how good Jose's ball can be in terms of a deep ball. We've seen him pass deep several times over his Union career. He's led to some amazing goals because of his deep ball. I don't know how far Leon can pass the ball, to be perfectly frank. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Leon. I don't think we've ever seen him with a long ball before. And a lot of times his passes are cutbacks, if not just kind of sporadic little kicks to Gazdag when he's running down the middle. So that's where I have a lot of concern with Leon, is that if the ball is relayed to him at the 18, a little bit further ahead, and he's being pressed, can he have the wherewithal to protect the ball and give it to someone like Lesnes or Kai or whoever else is playing near him effectively? If he has space, does he have the ability to push up the field and make a movement towards the goal compared to just kicking it to the closest player and kind of small ball on his way up the field? that's where I'm going to miss Jose the most, because Jose could get a ball in open space and just push it and create that attacking presence that the Union can do so well. How many times have we seen the Union get the ball and 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, they score a goal? That's not going to happen with Leon starting the play there. So that's where my biggest concern is. Also, does Odada then come into the mix more? I mean, we saw that one glimpse of him and how promising he looked. Does he maybe have a higher potential than we realize at such a young age? I mean, Dave, I guess I'll shoot back to you. Do you think Odada maybe comes into the mix more? Or if they change the formation, do you think maybe that kind of alleviates that problem?
I think Odada will probably feature more this year. I know Jim sort of saying we will see the system change a lot. Personally, do I think it will happen? Probably not. I mean, I could easily see this team playing a diamond or like a 4-4-2 narrow diamond for the first 10-15 games of the season and nothing changing. Honestly see that happening. I mean, we've seen it in preseason so far. I don't think Jim's changed the formation. It's all been the same. That probably does work in Odada's favour. Someone that will probably come in as that backup, sort of holding the fielder behind whoever is there. And I think, again, if you were to say move Leon Flack deeper and you have Odada, that then probably puts Jesus Bueno more into the fold as, you know, a backup central midfielder or whether he can play. Odada, irrespective of what sort of formation you play, Odada will probably get games. But I sort of feel like, as well, going back to the Leon Flack argument, I sort of feel like having a more defensive-minded player like Flack will give the fullbacks more freedom to push out the pitch. Again, we see it right down the left-hand side. But, I mean, I think you sort of see it with Man City sometimes, or you sort of see it with other teams where they will push their fullbacks on to essentially play as wingers and then drop their holding midfielder in to make a back three without the when they high up the pitch. That's something that Leon could do, play on the left side of a three when the Union are high up the pitch attacking. Because again, we do sort of see sometimes the Union do get left hand, like the back line does get like hung out to dry a bit sometimes, especially when Jose goes bombing on to join the attack and you've got everyone up there and you've only got the two central defenders sort of back. So I think again, perhaps Leon offers you that more versatility to push more players forward, perhaps, and be more stable defensively. I think, irrespective of what systems and what formations the team plays, I think he will get game time. And I think he's another player that could possibly play as a central defender, maybe, if needed.
How about you, Jose? What do you think about the concerns I have with Leon Flock, or what Dave has mentioned as well?
Leon Flock to me is one of the hardest working players. I think game in and game out, you see that really interesting statistic of who's run the most or the distance traveled, etc. And like clockwork, he's there, right? He's always one of the biggest runners. So I can't blame him for that. He works very, very hard. But when it comes to the offensive production, he's one of the stiffest players I think I've ever seen in terms of, you know, hips moving or anything like that. And I'm not pretending to be a scout or anything like that. But my gosh, it just feels like he is one of the stiffest people possible. So I can't imagine, you know, and we talk about one out, one in type of transfer situations at this point. But I don't know what we do, if anything, outside of sure Odada and some other players maybe stepping in and taking some time to fill in some of that gap. And if I'm honestly thinking as a father and really just an overall adult, I would not blame Jose Martinez for wanting to take that move. Last year, his salary, based on the MLS PA report that they put out every single year for their the salary as a transparency within the league, Jose Martinez made, if I am getting this correctly, $276,000 per year. That was his latest contract. Dele Alli out in Besiktas makes $137,000 per week. $137,000 per week.
My God.
And then I think their lowest paid player there makes about $30,000 per week. So when you think about the paycheck that this man's about to get, if he is indeed going to go to Turkey, it's substantial in that of it being an increase. So when you think about the fiscal responsibility of the union and Jose Martinez and his fiscal responsibility to himself and his family and him being South America and coming from a poor nation or maybe having a poor upbringing, you want to secure a move like this, sure. A, because it takes you to the next level in a way, but really can be to him generational wealth. So yeah. Looking outside of our fantasy world that is football, the realities of the finances are just, I would not be upset if Jose Martinez wants to force this through. I really would not be. I totally understand why.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I mean, I think if anything, if there was ever a year for the union to do it, to make this kind of movie, it would be this year when we do have some more depth, when we do have some more versatility, when we've already kind of flirted with the 3-3-5-2 kind of formation. So, again, it's an interesting argument. It's hard to say that somebody who's one of the best players at their position in the league is almost not as important as somebody else on your team. That's how good Kai Wagner is. So it's no disrespect to Jose. I just think that Kai is just more invaluable to the roster. But besides that, there have been other moves across the league. I know, Jose, you wanted to kind of touch upon certain things that was going on in the MLS. So anything you want to share regarding what's been going on in the league?
Yeah, I try to find the name of the guy, but I know Atlanta United just got a lot better. They were able to get a transfer, a player from Celtic, so that's substantial, regardless whether he's a starter or a sub. I don't care. Anybody who comes from the top team or one of the two top teams in one of those leagues is probably going to be a substantial addition to any one team. Sure. Also, it sounds per Tom that Julian Araujo from LA Galaxy might be on his way to Barcelona to cover for Hector Bellerin, who might be going to Portugal. So that's another big move, despite Araujo being projected to be more of a Barcelona B player versus an actual Barcelona player, probably getting some minutes with the main team, but really his role being with the B team. And I think one that's really important as we think about the teams that we'll be facing, FC Cincinnati just finished up the loan of a Colombian center back, Yerson Mosquera, from Wolverhampton Wanderers out in the Premier League. So Wolves paid $7 million for that player, only to dish him out on loan. So they are getting potentially a wonderful addition for absolutely nothing outside of salary. So it'll be very interesting to see, but I think the biggest thing to keep an eye on is what happens with Brenner out in Cincinnati as well, with Nottingham Forest being very interested, but everything really cooling off as well. Per Tom, it seems very unlikely that it'll happen in time, but if he stays, makes our road a little bit tougher. If he goes, maybe makes our road a little bit easier, as he is obviously always a threat.
Sure, of course. And speaking of Cincinnati, we do play them in a preseason game on February 10th at, as of right now, Friday, 12 p.m. Our next preseason game is on February 5th, Sunday at 12 p.m. And then we have two more after that on the 14th and the 18th against Nashville and against Colorado. But then after that, the Union kick off their season on the 25th. So it's only really now about 26 days away before we get the season started. Dave, any other thoughts on any other transfers, anything, any other moves you want to discuss? Or again, anything else?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, yeah. Again, so looking at this preseason friendly side, again, as you alluded to, again, we've got a few games against these Eastern Conference teams. These are the games Jim highlighted and sort of said, yeah, these are the games that we're going to look to experiment and to try different things out against these sort of teams to try and throw them off maybe when we do play them in the regular season. So again, it's going to be interesting to see how the Union line up. We might see a flat 4-4-2. We could see a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3, a 5 at the back. Who knows in these preseasons? Not as if we'll be able to watch them anyway, but I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see how it's approached.
so
we'll
negative,
have a blog.
There's always a live blog. Actually, a Brotherly game. Hopefully they're still in contract by then. Well, has been doing a pretty good job with releasing the like the step by step blog. I know the Union have done pretty well, and usually the next day, if not later that evening, they're actually releasing the videos of the goals and some moments. So you get some insight into what's going on. Some, you know, feelings of what's happening. I know we got to see the Bueno corner kick, which is a pretty nice goal they had out there. So again, I mean, these are just preseason games, but if, as Dave mentioned, if you are going to do some sort of more creativity, you like to see it against Eastern Conference opponents to kind of see how they match up in those brief stints. But again, it's nothing to take seriously. I saw one person, I guess, half jokingly online saying, oh, well, they're kind of giving up a couple goals. Should we be concerned? No, we should not be concerned. It's preseason. No. You're experimenting with players. You're experimenting with different tactics. You're not, it's like going 0-4 in the preseason. It doesn't, in the NFL, it doesn't matter. It's just preseason. Yeah. So, but again, it's more so to highlight some of the key players, get the rust off, that kind of stuff. But, and actually, you know, speaking of the NFL, we saw Michael Uwe Gelesnes and Daniel Gostad at the football game yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that going around Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. They were posing pictures of some Union players. They're Eagles fans, guys.
Hey, I mean, I think you've sort of missed out the more important thing. Jim Curtin's, you know, in amongst the chaos on Broad Street.
You like that, Dave? I think he lives somewhere near the area. He has to, right?
Yeah, just a photo of him out on the street, I think, with his wife or someone just in his Kenny Green Eagles jacket. I mean, yeah. Also, that was also, it did make me smile when I saw that. So, I mean, it's good to see. I mean, also good to see, you know, the European boys somehow managing to get tickets to the game. I think as well, I don't know if Rob McKinley was. I saw what McKinley was tailgating as well. I think they were watching the Wrexham game. It must have been like a little box or something. Personally, yeah, not as big as a fan of Wrexham as everyone in America, as unpopular as that belief will be, being from England, obviously. I think I saw someone say they are one of the best sports stories in the world right now. I think when you look at, I mean, in terms of their spending, they're essentially spending two divisions. Their wage budget is two divisions essentially higher than it should be. So they're like spending, and if you do look at that, the sort of clubs at Wrexham, well, they're spending as much as, I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby County, those sort of clubs that have like championship budgets, that's essentially what they are spending at the moment in the fifth division of English football. So is it as big of a story as it is, especially if they don't go up this year? There will be concerns, I think, if they don't manage to go up after another season of massive spending. So I think that'd be something to look out for in a tight, close title race.
Jose, any thoughts on that? Because I haven't followed that nearly as much. I've watched like one episode of the Wrexham show, but Twitter is basically going out of war with each other over MLS and Wrexham. I don't know if, Jose, you're familiar with this story at all or not.
No, you know, I haven't watched it. It's on my to watch while I'm running on the treadmill type of show, you know, mindless stuff that I can just, you know, maybe look at instead of looking at how long I've been running or the distance, etc. But I'm indifferent. You know, I appreciate that people are getting behind soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. I think it was incredible to see the support grow for the Philadelphia Union last year. I mean, I know I turned maybe 2-3 people into Philadelphia Union supporters after going to a playoff game or going to one or two games sitting in section 140 with me. So what bums me out is that the MLS has had every possible opportunity to try to do what Formula One has done, to try to do what actually tennis is currently doing with all these shows on Netflix that are successful and really show the passion and the love for the sport to people who probably have no interest in whatsoever. If you watch Drive to Survive on Netflix, I can probably guarantee you that you will end up watching one or two F1 races at some point in the season. Yeah. And Match Point that just came out chronicles the first half of the tennis season last year, focusing on 2-3 players every single episode. Imagine that setup, but with the MLS, right? With like different teams for maybe an episode or that type of thing. And I know that the Union have a history of having a movie, a documentary, etc. Get that, but I'm hopeful that the MLS deal and everything that they are requiring from teams does bring that out. And while we're talking about the MLS deal, congratulations to Danny Higginbottom.
Oh, did he get signed or something? I didn't see it. What happened?
He is. He's part of the crew that for the Apple deal. I think that there's still a few more spots that are yet to be revealed. But seeing him and Sam Lloyd out of I think Minnesota, who was probably one of the shining stars in the ESPN deal, or that I was able to discover through ESPN, hopping around different games throughout the year. Just really excited for Danny. I my gosh, to not have him, despite how well he does with NBC for the Premier League, would have been honestly criminal.
Well, I feel like from people, you know, from hearing comments about people who are getting into soccer and kind of just, you know, listen to these games, he does seem so educational and yet very upfront with his delivery, with his commentary. And he's just a great person overall, just from speaking with him briefly in person and just obviously seeing him on TV. He just has a great energy, a great knowledge of the game, a great delivery with it. So I'm excited. I didn't even hear about that. So thank you guys for bringing that up, because I'm happy. Danny was awesome. It sucked to see him here for such a short time and then leave. Before we even knew it, he was essentially on his way out. But yeah, the Wrexham MLS thing is interesting, because some people are saying, well, you're just mad at Wrexham for having the budget to promote themselves the way they're doing, which I think is fair. And I think you see the Hard Knocks on HBO or whatever it is for the NFL, how long that show has been going for. People like to see that behind-the-scenes storyline, player interaction type of thing. That's why people love the mic'd-up NFL players every single week, because it gives you that personal side of things that attaches you to these teams and stories even more. Yes, the Sons of Ben had that documentary that came out 25,000 years ago, whenever it was, it came out. But I mean, it's not like it's promoted anymore, really. It's just kind of been the background. So, yeah, Jose, I think it's a great point. The MLS should be doing that more often and having more of that behind-the-scenes look. I think that could help bring the league out even more. I mean, especially with Hollywood kind of being trickled in. You have Will Ferrell, Matthew McConaughey, obviously, Kevin Durant, a quiet owner but still a big name out there, you know? I don't know, guys. I want to see more.
I think it'll be interesting. I know the requirements, and I think it was is it Jose Maurer, one of the insiders with the MLS, that had shared a document with everything that the MLS is requiring from digital teams across the league, and it's promising with, you know, videos for every single team to talk about their history. So if you're a new supporter, you can actually click on a video to tell you about the team, almost like a 5-minute primer on every single team, which is already 200% more than what you get now. Yeah. When it comes to that type of stuff
outside of the social media team. I mean, I shouldn't discredit everything. So the Union social media team is actually really good. They do
winners.
Yeah, they are. They do a great job with their Powerade, or what is not Powerade? It's body armor videos after the wins, like those 3-minute awesome things. They have these great interactions with the players. They have the signs, like, what do you like better, with or without, kind of stuff. So it's always like those friendly interactions, but it is very much controlled to, if you follow the Union, that is what you're going to see compared to other leagues where you can kind of get that interaction with multiple teams easier. So yeah, that's a great point, Jose, and it's hopefully a bright future. It comes out February 1st, right? That's when we have to sign up for the Apple package, correct?
My friend, I am with the people. I have my own season ticket. I have my account. No worries for me. I'm a man of the people. You people who sit up in the press boxes, I'm not sure what you got to do.
Dave, you'd have access then too, wouldn't you, for the Apple Plus package?
Yeah, I should be. I mean, last year, sort of, if the game was on TV or I had to pay for it, I just watched it through my betting apps. I mean, gambling apps sort of broadcast the MLS for free. I'm not sure if it'll continue this year. Right. Fingers crossed it does. I mean, because I know if it does, I mean, I'll be able to live stream Union games. If not, I'm going to have to pay for Apple TV.
I know I'm going to have to pay for it because my KO bill alone is freaking ridiculous. I can't be adding all these extra packages on there. But all right, guys. I mean, listen, that's kind of been a 45-minute, 50-minute show at this point. It's preseason. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but, you know, we're only a couple weeks away now. We have one more preseason game next Sunday, so we'll have that to discuss on Monday. And obviously the press conference from Jim Curtin will be coming out, I'm sure, on Friday, or so Dave or I will cover it. But until then, you know, we just hope and pray that Kai Wagner and Jose Martinez stay with the club. My laundry just got done, if you can't hear it in the background. And besides that, Jose, any last words?
No. Go Birds. Many may not realize this, and this is a stat that will break minds. Gardner Minshew got a snap in the NFC championship game before Dak ever did.
Oh,
just let
that
sink in.
That's a great
let
stat.
That sink in.
There you go.
Go Dave, Birds.
Dave, any last thoughts or any Eagles related notes?
Go Birds. I mean, yeah. You know, got a week of just relaxation, just sitting there, you know, letting things slowly simmer, and the next week is going to be hype. And I mean, again, I fly the day before the Super Bowl, so I'll be in Philadelphia like early afternoon on the Saturday. So I'm looking forward. I'm hyped.
Love it. Yeah, listen to me. I know a few people have posted on Twitter. Right now is a very special time for Philadelphia. I mean, you have the MLS Cup appearance. You have Adam's putting fly equals fly. Thank you, Adam, for joining our show today. You have the Phillies in the World Series. You have the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. The Union are destined to be another MLS Cup final appearance this year. If not, they just obviously had the MLS Cup appearance in November. So it's a fun time, guys, right now. I can't wait for the season to start and to Jose join your band of people on the 25th. And, that's wraps up the show for tonight, guys. Go Union, go Birds.
Go Union. Dupe.
Let's go.